Today, we are doing part 7 of 8 of Creation Health. You have it there on the screen. Those of you at home should have it at home. And if you have not been here for the first 6 messages on this, on choice, rest, environment, activity, trust, and interpersonal relationships, good thing is that between Facebook and YouTube, you should be able to find the messages from before. Today, we're going to go ahead and talk about Outlook. And I was going to have a little video intro. And I'm like, you know what? We can just get right into the word. But here is the thing. Here's what you were going to get from the video intro. It was going to provide historical things like Apollo 13, where an outlook and a positive outlook and optimism made a complete difference between the life and deaths of those astronauts that were there, and they were able to get them back. Those famous words, "Houston, we have a problem," and what that story was about. You may or may not be familiar with that, but let me tell you about Outlook. This is something that makes a difference in our lives. It could be the difference between salvation and perdition. It could be the difference between an amazing evening staring at the stars or an evening where you're just too itchy and can't enjoy anything. What I mean by that, you've ever been outdoors and you got a mosquito on you and you get it, and then the rest of the time you're feeling bites everywhere even though there's nothing on you? You know what I'm talking about? There's something about what you think, how it affects you completely. There's something about the way that you see things that it changes you. I told you guys before here, and I mentioned it briefly, of when I used to work for the mortgage company and how we were, you know, I was going to school, psychology, studying, and there was this thing about how you can change people's minds and work with people. And we decided to tell this guy that was coming into work that, you know what, something is wrong. You okay? You don't look good today. You feeling well? And we asked him that question because, you know, I learned in the study that this is something that can be done. And surely enough, when he came in, because we had 8 a.m. shifts, 11 a.m., and we had 2 p.m. shifts because we were there, you know, to 10 o'clock at night because anyhow. And so when he came in, everybody, hey, are you okay? You don't look good. Hey, good morning. Are you okay? You don't look so well. Hey, so an hour later or so, he went home because he wasn't feeling well. He then later sent us a message that he was on his way to the hospital because he had developed a fever. I'm saying this now. I have no way of connecting with him. I wish I could search him and apologize to him and say I'm sorry. But I want you to understand that there's something about what you put into your mind. It happens with children. You have a kid and you tell them, you're dumb, you're dumb, you're dumb, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad. Guess what? They're going to grow up to be dumb or to be bad. I can't trust you, I can't trust you. They're going to grow up to be untrusted individuals. There's something about what you put into people's minds. I remember, for me growing up as a kid, my brother and I, we used to fist fight every single day. Every single day. And I fought him every day until one day I finally beat him. He never wanted to fight me again. You know, and so, but for me, I always saw failure as a challenge. You know, I am probably, you know, Jonathan is not here today. Jonathan Swan, we play basketball. He will tell you, I am the best loser you will ever meet. I mean, meaning that even when I'm losing, I'm still talking trash. And, you know, I talk so much trash that it will have you guessing, wait, did I just win or did I lose? I'm not sure what's happening here because I'm just like, yeah, you beat me, but look at that black eye. Yeah, you know, you beat me 27-5 on the basketball court. That's fine, but I still dunk on you. Ah, you know, like I didn't dunk, but, you know, I can barely touch the rim. But, you know, like I would talk so much trash that I would have you guessing because usually for me, my stubborn and fighter mentality is that When something bad happens, I see it as an opportunity to improve. I see it as an opportunity where, like, yeah, you're bigger than me. We can fight. If I could just get one hit off, we're good. I do it when I'm running. Listen, nobody likes running. Whoever says they like running, they're lying. You know, the Bible says that only the wicked run when no one is chasing them. But I do enjoy it. I don't enjoy it. But you know what I do when I try to push for it? It's like, let me just get to that pole. Okay, I got to the pole. Let me get to that tree just a little bit at a time. And so instead of me looking at the entire big thing, I take it just a little bit at a time. And that's my outlook in some of these things. I had a group of people at the YMCA where when I was teaching swimming back in the day, an adult class with a community college there, teaching them, I was telling them, hold on to the kickboards, keep paddling, you're going to make it from here to there, keep pushing, pushing. One of my lifeguards was like, yeah, don't hold on, because if you let go, you're going to sink and drown and I got to save you. Surely enough, it did not dawn on them that this entire time, these adults who did not know how to swim were just getting by, you know, pedaling and holding on to two kickboards on each end. But when he says, hold on, because if you let go, and one of them let go, and then not only did one of them let go, now he grabbed onto the other guy who grabbed onto the other guy. And now him and I, and one cell phone later, we rescue a class of 30 adult students who were drowning in the deep end of the pool in the YMCA because of the negative spin or approach to the situation. Hold on, make it from point A to point B. Hold on, because if you don't, this is what's going to happen. Outlook makes a significant difference, and it can mess with your mind just like that one singular mosquito bite that can turn into hundreds throughout the rest of the evening. So I'm going to invite you to pray with me as we get to this concept of outlook today. Let us go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you, and we're so grateful. Lord, you are an amazing God. This concept of outlook, it's great, especially with you in mind, because even if the situation is grim, with you, the outlook is still amazing. So Lord, as we explore this concept, I am asking that you pour out your spirit, that you anoint my lips, and that you open up our hearts and our minds as we receive your message. This is my humble prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So with outlook, you know, you have to understand that your thoughts only go one way or the other. They either draw you near to God or far from God, towards good or not. In revelation to questions, who do you worship? The Lamb? Or the dragon? Do you follow the Lamb wherever it leads, or do you not? There is no in the middle. I am neither here nor there. No, no. You are on one, or by default, you are on the other. And so we need to understand by choosing to have a good outlook, it can make all of the difference in our own health. It can make a huge difference in our health. Remember, this series is about 8 secrets to a healthy 900, to a healthy 100. And this is secret number 7, a positive outlook. And your attitude makes all of the difference in the world. You know, there's a gentleman by the name of Norman Cousins. He is famous for the Biology of Hope, which is an article that came out in the Western Journal of Medicine, where he tells a story, and I had to YouTube how to pronounce his name. It's German. If anybody here knows German, please forgive me, but it's William Buchholz. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we're just going to stick to that. And so, he was telling the story as he's having breakfast with a couple of different oncologists and everything else. And he heard them talking as they were preparing to present their results of a study to the National American Society of Clinical Oncology. And one of them says, you know, Bob, I don't get it. That was the other oncologist. We use the same drugs, the same dosage, the same schedule, and the same entry criteria. Yet somehow my patients have a 22% response while your patients have a 74% response. What is happening? We use the exact same thing. Everything is identical. Why is it that you have such a drastic response? 22%, 74%. What in the world? This is unheard of when it deals with metastatic lung cancer, and I don't know how. So here's how he responded, and I put it on the screen. And again, this is from the Western Journal of Medicine, and it says the following. We're both using etoposide, and yes, I did not Google how to pronounce that, platinum, Oncovin, and hydroxyurea, all right? You call yours EPA, E-P-O-H. I told my patients I am giving them hope, H-O-P-E. And yes, I let them know the side effects that comes as a result of those medications. I let them know that, you know, that they're only a percentage of people, but that there's hope. There are people that respond. There are people that turn around. There are people that are receptive, and the results are amazing. And so even though it is small, we have hope. And so this is why it showed a big difference in the way that his patients responded to it. Same letters, presented differently. Same medication, same treatment, same schedule. Because your outlook can make all of the difference in the world. All of the difference in the world. It all begins in our minds, and I have that on the screen. Watch your thoughts, you know, because they can become your words. Watch your words because they become your actions. Watch your actions because they become your habits. Watch your habits because they become your character. Watch your character because it can become your destiny. And so, you know, it's online if you want to do a screenshot and everything else later, but you have to understand that it begins on your minds. And the way that you look at things. Toshihiko Martha, a researcher, and I did Google that one, and his colleagues, they did a study, and they found that when doctors present to their client, to their patients, you know, in an optimistic way, an explanation of what's happening, that there's a 50% decrease in mortality simply by presenting it in a positive way. Simply by sharing, this is where they are. Not only that, they also discover that many times it comes down to choosing hope, and it has a lot to do with letting the past be the past and facing what is happening in the future. I always give the example, especially when I do like marriage counseling and couples counseling and things like that. I always give the example of when I used to work with the Red Cross in New Jersey, and I used to work with the disaster response for the Red Cross. And my job was that whenever there was a fire, for some reason fires always happen at 2 or 3 in the morning, but whenever there was a fire, I would drive one of those cool blue lights and get to the place. And my job was to get the family and help them get into a hotel or somewhere temporary, you know, a temporary placement where they sort things out. But during the fire, we never really wonder how did the fire started. The job was always, who else is left? We got to get them out. Because you see, how it started is not as important that we get everybody into safety. Sometimes couples get so caught up in assigning blame on how things are done that they don't focus on a solution for the problem. Sometimes, even in our own lives, when we're going through a medical thing, like the lung cancer that we mentioned here, we spend so much time. I spent all of this year smoking, doing all of this different thing. This is me, and I get it. But let's focus. We're here now. How can we work towards a solution? What can we do from now on? What lifestyle changes can take place so that we're able to continue to move forward? So the hope aspect is many times letting go of the past. Taking this to a spiritual sense, some of us even do this with sin. We asked God for forgiveness last week. Bible says that if we confess our sins, that he's faithful, that he is just, that he's going to forgive us, that he's going to cleanse us, that he's going to take all of our sins, all of it, and get rid of it for us, and he will remember our sins no more. But because we have failed to forgive ourselves and let it go, next week we're now asking for forgiveness, and he's looking at you like, what are you talking about? When I said I wasn't going to remember them no more, I meant it. Because you see, you may not be able to trust your promises, but you should trust mine. You may not be able to trust your words, but you should be able to trust mine. What sin? You have been washed by my blood. Do you understand that? And so many times, the key to hope is to let go of things in the past. Yes. Hope is the best thing for outlook. And the first thing that I want to address, Titus 2:11, it says, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to whom? To all people. Because you see, it is not the will of my Father in heaven that anyone should perish. Yes, even your neighbor that keeps moving your trash can. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even that one bully that you had in high school. Everybody, it is not his will that anyone should perish. Salvation is available to all. Verse 12. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. Come on now, you can't say amen, say ouch. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to self. Oh, but wait, you have your truth, I have my truth. You know, we're all right in our own way. YOLO, you only live once. Do we still say YOLO? Is that like super old now? No, maybe not anymore. Alex is looking at me like, I don't know, Joey, you're bringing. Well, anyhow, but that seems to be the mindset that the world puts out. You do you, boo. Okay, I that felt weird. I should not say that anymore. Yeah, but you know, that's the mindset that people have where you could do whatever you want. No. Devotion to God. That's how you ought to do it. In verse 13, how? While we look forward with what? With hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. Everything we do in obedience, not with our own pleasures, but devotion to God, looking forward with hope. Everything we must do in our lives is with a heaven's mentality, with our outlook in a hopeful manner. 1 Peter 1:3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant what? Say it with me. Mercy has begotten us again to a living what? Hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen, amen. Yes, Romans 15, 13, it says, now may the God of what? Hope. Fill you with all what? And in believing that you may abound in what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we are called to have hope, even when facing death. You know, you may be familiar with the scripture. If I've ever officiated a funeral, you know, for you or your loved one, and I'm sorry for your loss, but understand that even unto death, even in death, we are called to have hope. Look what it says, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. Yes, you're still going to grieve, and it still hurts, and we still miss them. Every birthday, every anniversary, we remember them. Every time we go to a place that we used to go with them, it hurts, but we still grieve differently because we have a hope that one day we're going to see them again. So we are called to have hope. This will completely transform our lives. Whereas the opposite, hopelessness, will lead to depression. And it will have you have a negative outlook in the things of life. But the good news is that depression does, you know, have many things. The very first thing is that it can be diagnosed and treated. You know, sometimes we have what is called circumstantial depression. Where, you know, I lost my job, like a Job thing, you know, lost my house, my family, this, that. I mean, if you're not depressed, you're not human, you're a robot, something is wrong. Like, of course, the circumstances can be depressing. Other times, it could be simply just your outlook and you doing this to yourself with a negative outlook. And other times, it can be chemically. Where there's, you know, everything is perfect in your life, but chemically you're a little depressed. That can be diagnosed. It can be treated. There are ways through medication, and then there are ways that you can work with, like those dopamines and other things that you can do, you know, serotonin and others through exercises and diet and so forth. Talk to your doctor about that. I'm not a doctor, but what I do know is that we know enough about it that we can work with it. Whether through medication, natural, or having an outlook on our current situation. The majority of the people suffer from depression, not because of a chemical imbalance, but because we are choosing to be like that Winnie the Pooh Eeyore guy, you know, hello, and we look at everything just down and negative when we should see things in a positive manner. You know, with the treatment, so many things can improve. And not only that, so other things that can help with depression. It talks about humor, vision, hope, gratitude. You know, you're looking at humor, and here's the scale that you have on the screen about the control and the experimental. You see that their levels of cortisol, what it has meant for them, how it has transformed them. Not only that, I wanted to throw this in the screen. The average adult, you know, laughs about 15 times a day, whereas children do it about 400 times, somewhere between adolescence and adulthood, we lost 385 times to laugh a day. You know, suddenly we come a little bit grumpier and stuff. You know, like not sure what's happening, but something is missing. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Come on now. You have to understand that having a cheerful disposition can make an amazing difference. You ever heard the expression, I have to laugh because if I don't laugh, I'll cry? You know, I get it. But you know what? You also have, like in James, I'm not putting that one on the screen, but James chapter 1, beginning of verse 2, where it says, consider it all joy, my brethren. When everything is ugly and disgusting, when the trials and the tribulations, you know, when your car breaks down, your roof is leaking, when everything seems to just crumble, just smile and nod, because you see, this is a spiritual warfare. This is a spiritual warfare. And although some of us put ourselves in tough situations, the majority of the time you're being attacked by the devil. And God can use that to continue to strengthen you and your journey. And he can use that and turn it into a blessing in your life as a challenge and an opportunity for growth. Therefore, consider it all joy. Because there's nothing that comes your way that God does not provide a way out. So just smile and say, look, you know, devil, I know what you'd be doing, man, but it ain't going to happen. And just smile and nod and keep on pressing on. Another aspect, just as important as hope, is forgiveness. This is another essential part and piece of a positive outlook. You know, you think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they sin. When they sin, you know, God did not go in there and start a, you know, doing like what our parents do to us sometimes when we mess up. You know what I mean? A little bit of yelling, a little bit of punishments. You know, if you were like me, it wasn't just yelling. You know, there was some, you know, extension cords and broom to sticks and switches. And, you know, and then I went to a public school in Puerto Rico, but it was ran by Catholic nuns. In the school, they had me kneel in the corner on a lunch tray with grains of rice, holding my backpack up in the air. My knees are just all over the place, you know, as far as scars and stuff like that. I can't, you know, like yeah, my hands, they used to just smack me all of the time. And I won't tell you all of the terrible stuff I used to do to them. But needless to say, it wasn't like unwarranted either. But what I'm saying is that that wasn't what God did. Instead, he sought them out. He covered them and showed them how forgiveness can be attained. I love the way that my God treated the first people that sinned here. I love that. Imagine if we were to treat sinners the same way. Not by beating them up, pointing fingers, gossiping, and just... No. Or some of you here, I love it when you say amen and hallelujah, but some of you say amen, like, you know, disciplining the person. Amen. Do you hear that? Yeah, amen. You know, no. Like, imagine if you truly show them how they too can attain forgiveness for their sins. What a difference would it make in this world? What a difference. There's a psychologist, man, all these names. But I wanted to show you that it's not just what the Bible says, but it's been proven. Psychologist Lauren Toussaint, it's like saint at the end and toes, so Toussaint. Anyways, her, yeah. So what happens is that, you know, with the colleagues in the Institute of Social Research at the University of Michigan, they determined that those who were willing to forgive others in their lives who had hurt them, they had a greater mental and physical health. You know, versus, you know, those who were holding on to hostilities against those who have hurt them, it will weaken their immune system and increase the risk of a heart attack. And this is what the studies had found. You know, I think of that parable that Jesus told in the Bible in response to Peter's question. Okay, Jesus, so how many times do I forgive? Until 7? Because number 8, I'm coming for you. No, Jesus said, 70 times 7. As a matter of fact, let me tell you a story. And he tells a story of a king who forgave somebody who owed him a lot of money, a debt that would take over 500 years of working just to be able to pay it back. It wasn't a debt that could have been paid. It was a debt that could only be forgiven. Just like your sins and my sins can only be forgiven. You cannot pay that for yourself. He paid it because you could not. And so the king forgave him the debt. That guy went out. He ran into somebody else that owed him a little bit of money equivalent to 100 days of debt versus 500 years. And he threw that guy in jail. And so the Lord said to him, after calling him a wicked servant, shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Shouldn't you have had mercy on those who have wronged you just as God had it on you? Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Doing what? What does it say there? Forgiving one another. Even as God in Christ forgave you. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, there seems to be something that if we truly understand what Christ had done for us, we will show that same forgiveness towards others. Another one is gratitude. Being grateful for the things that we have. You hear me say all of the time, oh, my boss, he is mean. Praise God, you have a job. Man, my three teenagers, they're eating me out of house and home. True story, by the way. But thank God that you were blessed with children. You know, oh, my car is always, you know, you have to knock on the door two times and kick it once so that it can get started. Praise God that you have a vehicle. You know, we all have our things, but you must be grateful. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Look what it says. Be thankful only when things go my way. What does it say? In all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Show your gratitude. Look what it says. This is a quote from Assisi. It says, if you don't have everything you want, be thankful for the things you don't have that you don't want. I'll let that sink in for just a moment. All right. Some of you are a little slower than the others, but we got it. We got it, yeah? Yeah, I had to reread that a couple of times too, so it was nice that I wasn't the only one. But yes, I mean, it's a phenomenal quote, right? But that's the whole thing. Things could be so much worse. So be thankful. Be thankful even for what you do have. This is a research on gratitude. And again, those who are at home can, you know, review that later. You guys can take a screenshot later. The words are a little bit tiny, and I get it. I just wanted to fit it all in one slide. But I need you to understand that what it does, those who, like, write down the things that they're grateful for, like if you journal the things that you're grateful for, they notice higher level of optimism, alertness, energy, all of these different things. It changes so much that they start affecting how they deal with others, looking out for others, taking care of others, and they even feel more connected to other people. You know, sometimes I get people that tell me, you know, I go to the church. I don't have any friends in church. I can't connect with the people in the church. I don't know what's happening. It's just, there's a disconnect there. And I say, yeah, you kind of show up right before the prayer. And when I start preaching, you leave and sneak out right when I say amen before the closing song. And you're wondering why you can't connect with the people in the church. I mean, I guess you could if you're trying to connect while I'm preaching, because you sneak in and sneak out. We don't see you ever again. And you're saying something is off. We're not connected. I've had that with couples, you know, where you remember those seats back in the day? Because I started doing marriage counseling back in 1999, right? So I got some grays and lost some hair. But you remember those seats in the front that it was like an entire bench? It wasn't just like two pilot seats, but it was a whole bench. Are you talking, you know, those cars? Like my old Chevy Impala used to have it. It was phenomenal. And loved those big seats. But anyhow, the wife is complaining. We used to, like, you know, drive leaning next to each other. We used to, like, hug and kiss at every red light and all of these things, but now there's like a distance between us. And the husband's like, honey, I am always in the driver's seat. Like, you're the one that has, like, slide to and fro here. I'm going nowhere. I'm always driving. And sometimes we do that not only with each other, but we do that with God. You realize that God is always beside you. All you have to do is just stop running and look. Hey, there he is, right there. And so if you feel disconnected in some way, it may be a you thing. I don't know. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Here is words together thrown on top. This is an oldie but a goodie. And I don't know, but what are you choosing to see? Is it that opportunity is nowhere, or is it that opportunity is now here? That may determine your optimism or pessimism. You know, changing your outlook. You know, when you practice optimism, you live with a vision, you maintain hope. You know, you express gratitude every day. All of these things make a difference. Remember, Christ died for you, and he promised what? This is Hebrews 13:5, to never leave you nor forsake you. Remember that you are a child of God. You know, many times we forget how precious you are to him. And so, you know, to obtain optimism, pray, hope, have joy, read the Bible, hold on to the Bible promises. Psalms and Proverbs and others have so many wonderful things throughout scriptures. We see so many of them. And Isaiah 41:10, one of the most beautiful texts there is, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. I don't know why things look so dim when he has you right there. If you allow him to, he will take care of you. And I know what you're thinking. I get it, Joey. But, you know, I'm just the worst. I have no hope. The positive outlook doesn't look great, because I am miserable. I am wretched. I am a sinner. I am a failure. Yes. Yes, we are. We all fall short of the glory of God. And the sooner you realize this, the sooner your outlook can change. Look what it says in Revelation 3:17. You say that I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing, and you don't realize that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Like, yeah, of course, you all messed up. But then it proceeds, and we're not reading it here, but read verses 18 and 19 on your own, where it talks about, I want you to get it from me, buy from me good gold, now you will really be rich. Buy from me five linens, and then you will no longer be naked. You know, nakedness is a symbolism of what we're covered with the purity of God, or with our own self, you know, righteousness and whatever else. And so you see that there. He's telling you, yeah, we all messed up. We all fall short of the glory of God. Jesus also says, you know, when we're reading in John, I give you this thing so that you don't sin, but if you do, you have an advocate. And so you have to understand that the sooner you realize that we are nothing, we can realize that because of him, we are everything. We are nothing as far as the world judges, but we are everything to him. We have lost as far as the world is concerned, but we're victorious because of him. And not only, yes, you're miserable and wretched and blind and naked, but then look what he says in verse 20. Look, I stand at the door and knock. I know you stink. I know you're nothing. I know you think you're unrighteous, but I want you to understand that you are precious to me. So I'm here and I am knocking. And if you hear my voice and you open the door, I will come in and we will eat together like friends, you know, like brothers, like my child. We're just going to spend time together. And when I am with you, no one can be against you. And when I am with you, my righteousness and my victory covers you. I got one yeah. That's it. No amens, nothing. Man, all right, we'll leave that there. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I got one. Two amens. Okay, we're getting a little bit better. See, you have to understand that even if the outcome is bad, we must still look forward to him and who he is. Psalm 48:14, it says, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto, bad news, unto death, right? So even if I die, this is something about a positive outlook. My God can get me out of a situation. But even if he doesn't, I'm still going to trust in him. Someone brought up in Sabbath school this morning, by the way, the church looks beautiful. Missed the majority in Sabbath school this morning. We need to spend a little bit of time studying and reviewing the lessons. There's so much more that can be learned. Studies show, in complete digression, but a shameless plug, and I don't care. But studies have shown that what I say from here in a sermon, you remember and retain about 5%. But what you study and discuss in a form of a study of the Word of God actually sticks to you about 60 to 80%, depending on how in-depth the study was. So if you want to continue to grow near to God, studying the Word of God is so crucial. From the Wednesday nights through the Thursday nights, through the Saturday afternoon, through the Saturday morning, find a place to study and study the Word of God. But anyhow, understand, someone mentioned in the study this morning how James was beheaded in Acts chapter 12, and a few verses later, Peter was set free. Both were captured by the same person. One was beheaded, one was not, but our job is to press on no matter what. Our job is to trust in the Lord no matter what, and to have an outlook that whether it be a life or death, it doesn't matter, because you see, the Lord is concerned about our spiritual health over our physical health. And so he will be our God forever and ever, even unto death. Romans 8:28, look what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And we quote this all of the time, but understand that even if it doesn't turn out good as far as an earthly reward, it will still turn out for the good as far as a heavenly reward. Are you with me? You know, in the Bible, we've seen this. We've seen the plot twist. You may remember the life of Joseph, where, you know, he went from bad to worse for many years by his brothers, by Potiphar, all of these different things. And then look what happens right here in Genesis 50. It says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Many times, my God will surprise you. And there will be a plot twist. Things are looking grim and dim, but he will turn it into something amazing. Other times, things may just play out the way they are. But even then, your outlook should be amazing. Even if it's a predictable plot like that of Stephen, who was being killed, and while being stoned, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And then he uttered a prayer, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they do." So whether it was harm for you that turned to good, or harm for you that was carried through even unto death, he is my God, and all I do is look into the heavens and see him, my Savior and my Redeemer, Christ Jesus. Can we do that? It's hard. Easier said than done, I'll tell you that. But guess what? Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So what are you thinking? You know, you must lead your heart. Many people say follow your heart, but your heart can be led astray. You need to stop following your heart, and you need to start leading your heart. Trust in the promises of God and remind yourself of the truth. Because out of the heart, you know, Mark 7:21, from within, out of a person's heart come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder. Verse 22, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Verse 23, all these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. So it is time that you lead and not follow. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren. And this one is a long verse. Have to be two slides. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This is where outlook ought to be. Last text for today, followed by a couple of slides, is this one, Philippians 4:9. The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So changing your outlook is one of the 8 secrets, secret number 7, to a healthy 100. It makes all of the difference, but you need to maintain hope in all situations, whether you're about to be beheaded or be set free, whether you're about to be delivered or not. Either way, you must trust in God. You must have faith in Jesus. You must have the faith of Jesus. You must maintain hope throughout everything, you know. And just like me, when I used to like fight, and it's like, man, if I could just get one good hit in, I'm happy, you know. Like, hey, every opportunity that comes your way is an opportunity for a great accomplishment. It's a great opportunity for God to testify in your life and on behalf of others. And so when people see what God has done for you and your outlook, even in the darkest situations, when you come out of the other end, you can be a witness to what a mighty God we serve, how great and mighty he is. He greater than he who is in the world? You know, changing your outlook, express your gratitude every day. Start by thanking God for his blessings, and then focus. And I wanted to make sure you understood this: your family, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, etc. Begin in your home. Jesus told the disciples, wait for the Holy Spirit, right? And then begin in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Begin in your home to share your gratitude, your thankfulness, and your positive attitude. So, what do you see? Or what will you see? And so this is the message for today. And I'm not going to do an appeal on this one either. I am going to do an appeal on the next one when we talk about health and nutrition. Because, man, the world and what we're eating and what we're consuming and you know, being couch potatoes has become a very famous thing. Binge watching shows, and suddenly I just watch 50 hours over the weekend. Like, that's a normal thing. How do we do that? And so I am going to make an appeal for that. But for this one, it's a little bit different, because I want you to begin with looking at yourself in a positive way. You know, Dr. Phil says, there's something about you that I hate about me. You ever find yourself being mean to someone? It's because they remind you of you. You know, those of us who are parents and you have a child that is just like you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, where it's like, oh, that kid, man. You know, and if it wasn't the spitting image of me in attitude and character, then, woo, you know. And I get that it gives you a tough time. But I need you to begin with you, because you're also the one that puts yourself down. You're also the ones that beats yourself up. I need you to start looking at your own life with positivity, trusting God's promises, and look at the rest of the world with a healthy outlook. Let us pray. Father God, we love you. And Lord, this is probably just a reminder. Oh, good reminder. I know. I need to look at things positive. Until something goes bad, and then everybody gets all grim and dark, and everything, you know, is just chaos and Armageddon and death and all of that. But Lord, trusting in you, having your faith, having faith in you, and recognizing that no matter what, that you are an amazing God who is great and wonderful, really does help us. I know that we can be hopeful. Some of us may struggle just with forgiving those who have wronged us. Some of us may struggle with being thankful. How can I be thankful? We focus on the negative things sometimes. There are so many areas of our lives that can be challenging, but Lord, with you by our side, we are your children, and you are God who will never forsake us. Give us the strength to have a better outlook in everything that we see. I ask this humbly in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.